an unmitigated disaster. It was coaching malpractice.
You're listening to Talk Sports.
Everything that could have gone wrong seemed like it went wrong. It seemed like no one had answers. And like I said, the most depressing part of it was it seemed like no one really cared.
Airing every day from
noon to 3.
And to me, this is one of those things. It's like, you know, I don't know if he should be fired, but if he was a fireman, I feel like he just brought gasoline to the blaze instead of a water hose. If he was a nurse, I think he just pulled the plug on a healthy patient. If he was a waiter, he just peed in a kid's lemonade. You get the point. You compare it to other occupations. Mm-hmm. I mean, not saying he should be fired, but this is a pretty bad offense.
On 1340 WKGN.
I feel like if you pulled the plug on a healthy patient, they would just live. Like, if you pulled my plug right now, like, I just, my heart would keep beating.
You get the point. Good point by you, but you understand what I was going for here.
Hour 3 kicking off in the Truly Hard Seltzer Studios. Lemonade coming January 1st. I'm telling you, it's really, really good. The day it drops, pick you up some and enjoy it. We appreciate Truly for their support. We're getting ready to welcome on Miller Lite coming up for basketball voluntary action. So, Cody, you don't have to pretend to like Truly. You can just be more in your natural habitat.
I am.
Alongside the sneeze monkeys, and you just sit there and you drink your Miller Lite, okay?
I can't tell you how excited I am about
it. Your face says it all if people are watching on Periscope. You just lit up.
I've been waiting for this announcement to come.
Yeah. Starting next Saturday for the voluntary reaction, whenever we go live after Tennessee beats Memphis, we will then
drink a lot of Miller Lite.
Drink a lot of Miller Lite. All right, hour 3 headlines. Cody McClure, Collision Course, right now.
All right, thanks, John.
You're welcome.
A Division I school has announced that it is shutting down its football program. Can you guess the school?
Division I?
It's a Division I school.
I'm assuming it's not Power 5.
Announces it's shutting down its football program.
Is it one of the conferences I would know or no? Would I know about this Division I program at all? Would I know?
Yeah, we play them every year. No, we don't. We don't play them every year. I was going to say, like,
Austin Peay?
I was going to say it's Vanderbilt, but it's not Vanderbilt.
I guess Austin
Peay is. No, it's Jacksonville University.
Oh, yeah, we play them all the time.
Which has competed in the non-scholarship Pioneer Football League since 1998. It's shutting down its football program after 22 years.
Is all this right. Jacksonville or Jacksonville State?
Jacksonville University.
Sounds like just Jacksonville.
So, yeah, I don't know anything about this. But it's a
good headline.
It's a D1 program, and they're shutting it down. Feel like it's big news.
Sure.
It's not big news. Cole Hamill and the Hamels and the Braves reached a one-year, $18 million contract today, sources told ESPN's Jeff Passan. Now, you mentioned this earlier, but did you mention the contract details?
I just said 1 year, $18 million is all I said.
Okay. Well, that's all I'm going to say, too.
Okay.
So we're off to a quick start here. Sounds great. Lamar Jackson says it will be an honor to pass Michael Vick's quarterback rushing record.
I love how Mike Vick dropped a... Yeah, Lamar Jackson looks a lot like me. Which, whatever, it's probably true, but it's just funny that Mike Vick was trying to, this guy's winning MVP and people think best quarterback in the league, and Vick's like, yeah, man, he looks just like how I used to do it.
Who are the Ravens playing this week?
Buffalo.
The Buffalo Bills.
M. Buffalo.
Hmm. How about that? Lamar Jackson could pass his childhood idol on Sunday. He's on pace to break Michael Vick's single-season rushing record for quarterbacks when the Ravens play at the Bills. He's on pace, so that means, I guess, he's averaging 81 rushing yards. He needs 63 to surpass Vick. Do you think he'll surpass him this week? I don't know. The Bills' defense is not bad.
Yeah, but the 49ers' defense was good, and he ran for 100 against them.
Indeed he did. He's a pretty good rushing quarterback. So we'll see. They got to play the Browns. What do they call the Browns stadium?
The Dog Pound.
Wouldn't that be ironic if he broke it at the Dog Pound?
Oh, I get it.
Michael Vick was in charge of dogfighting.
Paul and electrocuting them.
I hope Lamar breaks the record at the dog pound now. Paul Finebaum's. Well, anyway, Lamar said it'll be an honor to pass Michael Vick.
I'm sure Lamar Jackson probably looked up to Michael Vick.
He did. He respects Michael Vick, and he was his hero as a quarterback growing up. Paul Finebaum says he believes America is not clamoring for Utah in the college football playoff.
I mean, I don't think anyone's clamoring for anybody. I guess, though, Jalen Hurts would be enough to move the needle for most casual or even, good college football fans. I think if given the choice, would you rather see Jalen Hurts and Lincoln Riley or Kyle Whittingham and their defense? I think everyone says give us Jalen Hurts, right? So your name brand test is going to be put to the your name brand criteria is going to be put to the test if both these teams win this weekend, right?
Yeah. Yep. And if the committee – they should have just went ahead and jumped them if they're going to do it. I think if the committee jumps Utah and takes Oklahoma, I think there's going to be a lot of people that are mad.
Well, it's going to have to be an impressive win.
Yeah. Maybe it's just whoever – I think Baylor and Oregon are similar teams too. Maybe it's just whoever wins by the most points. Maybe it's that simple.
Mm.
Although, at that point, though, Oklahoma would have two quality wins. Like, beating Baylor twice is better than just beating Oregon once, isn't it?
This is going to be such a good weekend. It's going to be such a good weekend between Friday's Pac-12 and then a full day Saturday. Great NFL slate. And we get – I forgot we got Andy Ruiz Jr. and Anthony Joshua. Hey, can we look up to see where that – is that going to be on DAZN?
Not going to be watching that.
Yeah, if it's on DAZN, I will be. 3 o'clock?
We got great football all weekend.
3 o'clock?
3 o'clock when?
On Saturday? What's the noon game?
It's the middle of the SEC Championship.
No, it's not. The SEC Championship doesn't start until 4.
Well, it's basically, it's...
These are heavyweights, bro. 36 minutes times 12 is what? Or 3 minutes times 12 is 36.
36 minutes.
Yeah, it'll be over.
Nobody's going to watch that.
If it's on the zone, I'm going to.
The title game will still be on.
Oklahoma's going to be up 17.
No, they're not.
I'm putting it at least on my computer.
You take Oklahoma minus 17, I take Baylor plus 17?
No, I'll give you the nine points, though.
No. Feinbaum said, let's be honest.
What is it with you and your damn board bets? You're just trying to get an advantage?
Trying to claw back.
An 8-point advantage on each one?
I don't know. You sounded confident.
What were you looking for?
Anthony Joshua and Andy Ruiz Jr. Is that on DAZN?
Yeah. December 7th?
Do they have free trials of DAZN?
I am not sure.
That sounds like something
I
would
order.
It's
on their website schedule for this weekend.
Or how much is it? Is it $5? Because I'm going to get it if it's $5. I want to watch Andy Ruiz Jr. and Anthony Joshua. That was a big fat guy who won who was the first Mexican heavyweight champion.
Oh, that guy?
Yeah.
I did like that guy.
Yeah, he's back this weekend.
He had a little flair about him.
Yeah, him and Joshua.
And he looks fat.
Yeah,
fat,
rematch.
I appreciate
rematch.
That.
Saudi Arabia on Saturday.
Who's the other guy?
Anthony Joshua. He's the British guy.
British guy.
I mean, he's a British guy. Yeah, he's
like
British
a big,
heavyweight. He's
big British guy.
It's $20 a month.
$20 a month.
Yeah, unless you get the yearly.
The zone.
What's it go down to? In that
$33 a month, but you got to buy the year thing at once.
But you can get $833 for the whole year. I mean, $8 a month.
It's yeah.
So $100 basically.
Yeah, it's $100 for the whole year.
I think I'm gonna have a DAZN at lunch.
I'm gonna have to get
a little marinara, a little Parmesan cheese.
I have to look to see what else DAZN offers.
Pepperoni cooked inside.
Pause or cancel anytime. So I guess I could just watch this one fight.
Perhaps I'm thinking of a calzone.
So what did Paul Finebaum say about Utah?
He said, let's be honest. I'll try to do it like Finebaum. Let's be honest. The country does not want to see Utah in the college football playoff. I'm sorry. It's Utah. He's very dry.
That's pretty good.
But anyway, he said, let's be honest. The country does not want to see Utah in the playoff. I'm sorry. It's Utah. David Pollack responded with news for Finebaum that Oklahoma wouldn't be any better. He said, they may not be any better, but they're going to look a lot better. That's what Finebaum said.
I was focused more on your impression.
Congratulations, you made the playoff. You'll have no impact on the playoffs. Is that close?
I mean, everyone who whoever gets in at number four, whoever gets in at number four is going to get beaten. Like, I think that's common knowledge.
Maybe it should just be a three-team playoff. Maybe four is too many.
There's not a four. There's not a number four who can beat number one. There's just not.
I hope it happens, just because, you know, upsets. It's not no, good. Actually, I don't, because I want to see Ohio State LSU.
Yeah. Yeah, we don't actually like our underdog Cinderella story. I say that every March and people get mad. We like them for like two rounds as long as they don't like take away from our big superstar matchups. We still want to see the Blue Bloods go against each other.
I think if we had one superstar there in a championship game, though, I think we'd root hard for the underdog. Like if that George Mason team had gotten to the national championship and they were playing somebody huge like Duke.
Sure.
Now, if it was
they
like,
did when Butler did that, and that was an awful game. Or no, when it was Butler UConn.
That one was a really
yeah. No, Butler UConn.
Well, what about Butler Duke?
Butler Duke was fine, but
court shot almost got the job.
You called those underdogs, but they had three NBA players on their team.
Yeah, but it's still Butler.
Yeah, I know, but they were a really good team. They had three, including like a future NBA All Star.
How?
Brad Stevens, I guess, bro. But sure, Butler or Duke was fun, but remember UConn Duke? Or UConn Butler?
Yeah, but UConn's not a big enough power to make it where the country's really behind the underdog, I don't
think. UConn was a pretty big power at the time. I mean, it won three or four national championships.
They're not a blue blood, though.
They had a British-sounding head coach who kind of sounds like blue bloods. Calhoun is got a British accent.
I feel like the Blue Bloods have to have Italian coaches from New York.
When I think of Blue Blood, I think of King royalty. That's where Blue Blood comes from, right? Like royalty, kings.
Do you think the mob controls college basketball still?
No.
Look at the head coaches of the big programs.
John Calipari.
Like Izzo, Calipari, Krzyzewski. Those are all guys.
Krzyzewski, Italian mobster.
They just all seem like...
Is he supposed to be like a Russian mobster? Like, what is...
They just all seem like guys with Italian roots. Patino back in his, you know, when he was there.
Patino's gone, though, so it kind of ruins your take, because if they were running it, they wouldn't have got rid of one of their own.
I know, but don't you think of...
You think they would have gotten rid of one of their own?
I understand what you're saying, but when you think of...
He was getting a different type of whacked, not mob whacked.
True. But when you think of a college basketball coach, don't you think of like a sleazy Italian guy?
No.
I do.
Not really. I think of... Pasty white Roy Williams.
He penetrated the mob.
Okay. He got in. Yeah. He's the Irishman.
Yeah, basically.
Yeah.
Apparently, Marcus Tatum is leaving Tennessee as a grad transfer. Is this new news?
It came out last night, and then he tweeted it out today.
Who cares?
We opened the show with it.
Marcus Tatum.
I care. I mean, like, all of a sudden, you're going to be out three offensive linemen who played, most likely.
Thanks a lot, guys. Appreciate you just leaving us behind here.
Puts more pressure on this recruiting class.
What, fellas?
What's our offensive line depth look like next year? I know we got the two five-star freshmen.
Ryan Johnson.
Brandon Kennedy. No, Ryan Johnson's gone,
Trey
bro.
Smith. Or, I don't know. I'm trying to think of the guys. Marcus Tatum, I guess. I mean,
Tatum was a guy who got in some
points. Him, Ryan Johnson, Trey Smith will be gone. Everybody else
I
should be back.
I assume Trey Smith's gone, yeah.
The two young guys. I mean, we should have three starters back, basically. Or three starting type quality. What
three
about
– three guys who started –
Well, who's the big guy, the road grader?
Carvin and Calbert, both those guys still be here.
They'll be back. No, I'm thinking, who am I thinking of? I'm thinking of the guard.
Calbert's who I think you're thinking of.
No. Maybe. What number is he? Yeah, K-Ron.
Yeah.
K-Ron. Yeah. He's back?
Yeah.
Okay. I don't know if we'll have a lot of depth, but we should have a good front five.
Okay.
I mean, should be able to work with that.
Yeah. Good batch of headlines. Let's talk sports. Cam, you got your overrated and underrated topics? Thumbs up. We'll do that at 2:30. Let's talk sports. It's Fan Run Radio. Are you familiar with how these playoff rankings yesterday affected Tennessee? Like Alabama being ranked number 12? Does that do anything for our bowl projections? I saw some people like trying to connect it, but it was confusing me.
What now? What's the...
Like, Alabama fell out of the top 12, which means they're probably not going to get a New Year's Six Bowl.
They're ranked number 12?
Yeah, in the playoff, they fell all the way down to number 12, which I can't believe.
Aren't there six New Year's Six Bowls?
Yeah, but I think the group five gets an automatic one, so that would mean the 12 is the cutoff. or no.
So only the top 11
get in? I don't know how the hell it works. Man, that's what I'm asking you for, because, like, the ACC champion gets one, and the ACC runner-up if the team goes in the playoffs. So, like, Virginia's going to knock Alabama out of one. Right? Isn't that how it works? Like, if Clemson's in the playoff, they still have to send the top-ranked ACC team to the whatever bowl, right? The Orange Bowl?
Didn't all that kind of change, though, when the—
I'm asking you. You're my college football expert. That's literally the only thing I ask you to know about, because I don't.
Notre Dame count as a ranked ACC school since they play that, like, partial ACC schedule?
That's a good question, because I don't think they get counted as, like, a Group 5, like, independent school. So, like, maybe
Notre
Dame.
They'll be ranked higher than Virginia.
Literally, all I ask Cody to know is college football, because I don't know much about it.
I used to know more about it.
I know.
I quit writing.
Did you quit reading, too? I know you're not very good at arithmetic, so, like, do you have any of the R's?
All right, listen here, jerk. Here's how it goes, okay?
Read for me.
The Rose Bowl. Big Ten number one versus Pac-12 number one. The Sugar Bowl, SEC number one versus Big 12 number one. The Orange Bowl, ACC number one versus SEC number two, Big Ten number two, or Notre Dame. And then the Cotton Fiesta and Peach. Now, remember, these are on a rotating basis. But the Cotton Fiesta and Peach, you can take an at-large or a group of five. They're selected by the committee.
I think there's only four New Year's Six Bowls.
There's six.
Well, I mean, there's two playoff games, and then there's four
right.
at-large.
But they're on a rotating schedule.
Right, but there's four each year that's a quote-unquote New Year's Six Bowl for the teams that don't make the playoffs, right?
Right, so this year the semifinal games are the Peach Bowl and the Fiesta Bowl.
And that should be Ohio State, LSU, Clemson, and throw in, I guess we'll just say, Oklahoma.
Right, so that leaves you with Cotton, Orange, Sugar, and Rose Bowl.
Correct.
The Rose Bowl and the Sugar Bowl are Rose
Bowl,
basically going to already be set.
The Rose Bowl will be something like either Wisconsin or Penn State versus Oregon or Utah.
Yeah. The Sugar Bowl and the Rose Bowl are essentially already set. The Orange Bowl will have will have Virginia against
either Notre Dame,
SEC, or Notre Dame.
And that'll be the top ranked, or I guess the second ranked SEC team, like, outside of LSU. So LSU playoff.
Well,
so then,
Georgia will go Sugar.
Right, that's the number one option, right?
Right.
The Sugar Bowl will be
the
top ranked
SEC team.
Right.
Basically.
Second outside of playoff.
Which should be
Florida. It should go LSU 1, Georgia 2, Florida 3, correct?
Florida will likely go to the Orange Bowl, I would think. But not necessarily, because that could be a Big Ten team. So the Orange Bowl kind of has its selection. The Cotton Bowl, though, is where you get the guaranteed group of five, and then it's an at-large. So the Cotton Bowl can be anybody.
So the Cotton Bowl will almost assuredly be Memphis.
Yeah.
Unless Memphis loses this weekend.
Yeah, because that's where the group of five will go to the Cotton Bowl this year.
And then anybody can play there.
It just says at-large for that one.
So it could be Memphis versus Alabama, but Alabama's probably not going to make it, so it'll probably be Memphis versus Utah.
But it's determined by the committee.
Oh, damn it.
The committee determines.
Yeah, basically the top 12 teams, but like I said, the group five automatically gets in there, so it could be top 11 teams. So right now Alabama's number 12, which means that Alabama probably won't be a group 12 or won't be a New Year's Six Bowl contender unless they jump in over Oregon or Utah.
But the committee could very well put them in as that at large. Like, I don't think it has to be how the teams are ranked, does it?
I believe it does.
I'm not seeing anything about it. Well, then you would kind of screw up your conference allegiances.
Well, that's why it says at-large versus at-large. You don't have any conference allegiances.
You still do, though, for the Rose.
I'm talking about strictly
the Sugar,
for the Cotton.
Strictly for the Cotton Bowl?
Yeah. Because, you only have – each conference is only guaranteed one. You see? Each bowl game only has one guaranteed conference tie-in. The Sugar is SEC versus Big 12. The Rose is Big 10 versus Pac-12, and the ACC gets the Orange
Bowl. Exactly.
So that's the only five things right there. And then with the other game and a half, you get either SEC, Big 10, or Notre Dame, or at-large and at-large. So you only have one top-ranked team from each conference guaranteed to get
in. Well, Virginia's not in the top 12 either,
No, but they'll be the top-ranked ACC team, which
right.
is going to affect how the top 12 rankings are, Virginia and Memphis, because the highest Group 5 team is guaranteed a New Year's Six Bowl as well.
Right, but I don't think that the at-large that goes to the Cotton Bowl, that doesn't have to be the highest ranked team that isn't in one yet, right?
I think it does, because you have, there has to be a reward for finishing in the top 10 or whatever. Like, they're not going to kick out Oregon, who's number 9. They qualify for a New Year's Six Bowl, I believe is how that works, no?
Can we just go through it game by game?
What do you mean?
Like go through the rankings, and we'll fill it in game by game?
Do we have the rankings, college football rankings?
If you find the playoff rankings, I think we can work through this.
Let's work through this.
So we can automatically knock out our Peach Bowl and our Fiesta Bowl.
I think we have our top four. We'll just call it, like I said, Ohio State, LSU, Clemson. Let's just call it Oklahoma.
Call it Oklahoma after they beat Baylor. Okay. So that leaves us, who's number five?
Number five Utah. Is Utah.
That would put Utah either in the Rose Bowl.
In the Rose Bowl if they win. Yes.
So we're just going chalk.
Let's just go chalk.
Assume Utah and Oklahoma wins. Oklahoma gets in. So that makes your Rose Bowl Utah versus who is the next Big Ten team?
Wisconsin.
Utah, Wisconsin.
Now, it could be Penn State if Wisconsin falls outside. Currently, Penn State is ranked number 10. And Wisconsin is ranked number 8. So theoretically, like, those could get hopped.
It's hard to do this exercise until the games are done.
Yeah.
Okay, so right now we'll go Utah, Wisconsin. Okay.
Yeah.
Who is your next team behind Utah?
Oklahoma right now.
Okay, they go to the Sugar Bowl and they'll play.
Well, we put them in the playoff already.
Oh, we did. Okay, who's all right? Who's the next Big 12?
Baylor.
Baylor. Baylor will go to the Sugar Bowl
and play Georgia.
Okay, so there's those two teams. So
yeah.
We got Utah, Wisconsin, Georgia, Baylor. Right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Orange Bowl will be Virginia.
Virginia, and they'll play Big Ten, SEC, or Notre Dame.
So they'll play Florida, who's ranked number 9. Florida cannot fall.
Is that the next highest ranked team?
Yeah.
That's Big Ten, SEC? Yep. Okay. So that'll likely be your Orange Bowl, right?
If
we go chalk, Virginia, Florida.
Yeah.
All right. So then that leaves the Cotton Bowl. You'll have Memphis against at-large. So what is the next best ranked team that we haven't mentioned?
Currently, it is Auburn, the team we haven't mentioned.
Or Penn State?
Penn State, I guess, because Penn State, I mentioned them, but they don't have a home. So, yeah, Penn State.
So do we expect Penn State to play Memphis in the Cotton Bowl if it goes chalk? Is that how that'll work?
I think there's going to be some reshuffling between Wisconsin and Penn State, probably, if Wisconsin gets smashed by Ohio State, but we'll see.
But will that next Big Ten team be the highest-ranked team not in a bowl yet?
Yep.
Well, if it goes by the
rankings. Either Wisconsin or Penn State will be ranked higher than Auburn, who is 11 and does not play this weekend.
And then Auburn will play the other one of them, probably in the Citrus Bowl.
Right.
So that would leave Alabama out, because the next highest ranked at-large team will be a Big Ten team, no matter what, basically.
So Alabama's probably going to steal the Tampa Bowl from us.
Auburn's ranked ahead of Bama?
Yeah, 11.
They'll go to the Citrus Bowl.
And then Alabama probably is going to get the
Outback.
The Outback, and then we'll be at the Tax Slayer. Probably is how that's going to look out.
Alabama, Michigan, Outback Bowl?
Probably.
And we'll get Minnesota in the Gator Bowl?
Probably. Yep, we solved it.
Michigan ranked ahead of Minnesota? Who's ahead?
Yeah, Michigan's ahead of Minnesota.
Really?
Yeah. Michigan's at 14.
Okay, that's what it's going to be.
Iowa's ranked ahead of Minnesota, too, by the way.
Jeez.
Oh. Well, that doesn't matter, because
We'll figure it out. I wanted to know. I feel like I saw some people talking about how Alabama's affected us, how they're not going to be in the New Year's Six Bowl, how that's going to they're going to steal the Outback Bowl from us, because we might have gotten in over Auburn, but we're not getting in over Alabama. So,
well, the playoff rankings though only matter for the New Year's Six,
right? So but then the Citrus automatically gets the top ranked SEC team that's remaining, right?
Right.
Yeah.
But then after the Citrus. Like,
so, like, Auburn and Alabama getting left out of the New Year's Six Bowl is going to cost us the Outback Bowl. We needed one more SEC team to be ranked higher.
Looks like it if Alabama is available for the Outback Bowl.
Yeah, it looks like that's what happened to us.
But they have no tie to the playoff, though. So, like, the Outback Bowl can choose whoever they want. Outback, Gator, there's, like, what, those six SEC bowls, right?
Yeah.
They can all – the conference picks,
but they usually give them the better matchups.
Yeah, so you think the SEC would probably say Bama to the Outback?
Although, I feel like, look, I know Bama's a better team than us, but I feel like there'd be more excitement around Herb Bowl trip than Alabama's.
I would think our fans would be more eager.
That's what I'm saying.
You think Alabama fans are showing up for the Outback Bowl?
I don't. I really think it'd be funny if it was like, hey, Music City Bowl. Enjoy Nashville, Alabama.
They're like, we don't care.
Yeah.
I mean, they're not, you know.
Belk Bowl. Send you out with a bang.
I think we just worked that out, though. Did you write all that down?
Yeah, I did.
Okay.
In my mind.
I want to, if it goes chalk, I hope we nailed that.
I'm I don't sure think something it's go chalk,
something yeah. will throw it off.
Wisconsin and Penn State's going to flip flop, and who knows what happens with Oregon and Utah. So,
but I feel like in general, I think we kind of nailed it.
Okay, good job, us. That was a very underrated exercise, which means that we're now going to do overrated, underrated coming up next.
It's overrated. It's overrated. Overrated, my friend. Overrated. I'm going to tell you why.
I think that's a solid rated right there. It's perfect rated.
He underrated, man. He has some swag. He has some real swag.
Lobsters are underrated. They don't die.
All right. Are y'all ready to play overrated, underrated?
Let's do it.
Yes.
All right. Staying kind of on topic. Overrated or underrated? Going to a New Year's Six Bowl.
I think that's underrated or properly rated. Let's call it properly rated because I feel like we acknowledge that that is a goal. Sure, making the playoff is the biggest deal, but for most programs, that New Year's Six check, that New Year's Six feeling of accomplishment, the cities in general are all better, right? I mean, let's just look at this year's New Year's Six bowl games. New Orleans seems to be like an elite destination, right? Pasadena, California. Would be cool, and obviously the SEC never really gets to go to the Rose Bowl unless it's a playoff game, so that doesn't really matter for us. Miami, cool. Arlington, Texas, Jerry's World, that feels big. So, I mean, like, the cities seem cooler. The name of the bowl history, like, they're the biggest bowls for a reason. I'd say it's properly rated.
Yeah. Yeah, I think so. You mentioned it. I'm going to go a little underrated, but you mentioned the cities. I mean, obviously, New Orleans, the party that we would have for the Sugar Bowl, the Cotton Bowl, down in Jerry's World, go out to the Rose
Peach
Bowl.
Peach Bowl's Atlanta. I don't know about Glendale, Arizona or whatever. But
that one doesn't seem as great.
All of those seem superior to, like, Jacksonville or Tampa, though.
Yeah, that stadium in Atlanta, just to be in that stadium is pretty cool. And then the Orange Bowl, you know, that would be probably if we were in the playoff. But
and it just means that you were elite.
But, yeah, those are the historic games. Those are the ones you think of. Those are the real bowl games. It used to just be those games. You know, if you were in those games, it was a great year. Rose, Sugar, Cotton, Orange, I mean, Peach, big-time games. I got to say underrated. I imagine, man, imagine getting to the Rose Bowl, the playoff game.
Mm.
Can you imagine it?
Yeah. Yeah, I can. It's coming next year.
I've been to the Rose Bowl.
Next year, Cody.
Not to brag or anything, but.
Yeah. What did you watch there?
I've been in the Rose Bowl, the Rolling Stones.
Oh.
Yeah, it's a pretty cool place.
Something else that peaked decades ago.
Feels just kind of
surreal. Tennessee football, Rolling Stones, both peaked decades ago.
Yeah, I mean, it's hard to peak when you're 76, but it's pretty surreal, though, just to be in there. Mm-hmm. It's one of those places.
I've never been.
It's like, you know how it is. People are like, some places are just special. You just kind of get chills. That's one of those places.
That's how I felt in Indianapolis this weekend, being in their big barn. Just like, wow, Peyton Manning.
Like, you know, like if you're in the garden or something like that.
Yeah.
What's the coolest venue you've been in?
I don't know. It's a good question. I'm trying to think. Like, Arrowhead Stadium was cool.
Yeah.
The Patriot Stadium was cool. You know, a lot of winning there. That was kind of surreal to be there.
Wrigley Field.
I've never been to Wrigley. I never went to old Yankee Stadium, but I went to new Yankee Stadium, but there wasn't much history there. But it was cool. Yeah. It was cool to see, like, I mean, you know, the Patriots and Yankees, where they both play.
I think it'd be cool to
Phillips Arena / State Farm Arena down in Atlanta. That's it's a place where, you know,
I was just
legends there. Have played.
Elton John.
Joe Johnson.
Yeah.
Josh Childress. Josh Smith.
Matumbo.
I was going to say, Mike Bibby was there for a minute.
Matumbo.
Yeah.
Obviously.
Yeah.
You know, that's pretty historic
Neyland Stadium.
Pete Maravich.
Neyland, probably.
Pete Maravich. Yeah, Neyland's
Neyland's probably the best I've been in, honestly.
Neyland's pretty awesome.
All right, Cam, next.
All right, speaking of somebody that may go to the Rose Bowl, Utah.
Utah, I'm going to say, is probably overrated. I think that they're probably a good team, whatever. I mean, obviously, I haven't watched them like I've watched the SEC teams because, you know, Pac-12. But they seem complete. They seem whole, but I think it's on a lower level. The Pac-12 is just not as good as the SEC. It's not as good as the Big Ten. It might be on par with the Big 12, the ACC, but I think they've benefited from a fairly easy schedule. I don't think they've been really, really tested by any really good teams. So, like, if they got in the playoff, I would assume they'd probably get blown out by one of the really good teams with the really good athletes. So,
yeah,
I got to go overrated.
I got to go Utah's overrated, too, because right now, Cam, they're ranked at number 5. So it's impossible to say they're underrated because they're not one of the 4 best teams in the country. And I don't think they're properly rated either, just because I think if Utah played Oklahoma, played Wisconsin, hell, probably played Florida, Auburn, Alabama, maybe even Michigan, maybe even Notre Dame, like I would think all those teams would have a really good shot of beating them. So I'll go overrated. That doesn't mean I don't think they should get in if they win on Saturday. Like they're good.
They don't have any good wins.
I just don't think they're better, hands down, than any of the teams they're behind, obviously. And I think there's a couple teams below them that would beat them, so I got to go with overrated.
I mean, their schedule's just it's not good. They don't really have any good wins.
All right, next up.
You don't have any good wins.
Going to look at Christmas lights.
No, I don't.
Underrated. We put up Christmas lights at our house. Put me in a good mood. We got Christmas lights on our porch. We got Christmas lights on our other porch. We got Christmas lights in the house.
Two porches.
Christmas lights up on our other units up above the house. Like
another unit.
Yeah, we just got Christmas lights all over.
Wow.
And it actually has put me in a pretty good mood. So, I like looking at Christmas lights. The house below my dad's house always used to do a big Christmas thing in their yard, and I used to always love driving by there and going to see them. I like them. That's one of the few things that put me in the Christmas mood. Would I rather look at Christmas lights or listen to Christmas music? Christmas lights every time for me.
What about those Christmas lights that sync with Christmas music? Ooh,
that's too much. You're doing too much there. I don't need the lights to flicker with "Oh Holy Night." I want all to be calm, right? I want all to be calm. Not just flinking around and flickering around and giving me an EDM show feeling. No, just all is calm.
Nothing stirring. Not even a mouse.
Exactly. Underrated.
Overrated for sure. My hometown.
Wait till you see our Christmas lights.
My hometown does this whole thing with the lights where they have like one of the biggest light shows in the state or whatever.
Yeah, it's imagine.
Batesville,
Arkansas puts on a hell of a Christmas light show.
They really do. It's one of the few things they're known for. No, that's what I'm telling
that's
you.
That's what they're known for, yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
You've heard about the infamous Batesville, Arkansas light show. I've heard you could see it from space, Cam.
My point is that it's very overrated. To me, Christmas lights are just, they're lights, bro. They're just lights. You can see them anytime. I mean, although the people, I will say, you know, props to the people that really put the effort into it. It does nothing for me. I say overrated. But there is a place out in like Farragut, like real Farragut, not Turkey Creek, like further. You go out to Farragut. I'm sure somebody listening knows what I'm talking about. It's this massive place. I think it's on that road to Lenora City. It's like this massive – is that just Kingston Pike? Or isn't there another road that goes Lenore City to Farragut, basically? Like, if you don't take the interstate, but you take that other
– It's Kingston Pike.
Well, I know it's Kingston Pike, but don't you get on another highway or something at some point?
To go from Lenore City to Farragut?
Maybe it's between Lenore City and Farragut. It's out in that area, very much west of here. I know somebody knows what I'm talking about. It's a huge – they have, like, a massive yard, massive house. It's one of these rich people. They put on a – huge display. I mean, it's like you drive by it, it's like you're looking at a nuclear power plant or
there is another road that runs that way, I'm pretty sure, but I don't know what it is.
Yeah, but you drive by this house and it's like looking at like a city, It's so lit up.
Yeah, and you don't like that?
No, I got to say, it's very impressive. I'm sure it takes a lot of work. Well, not that the people that live there do it. I'm sure they pay somebody to do it.
That's probably not true. They probably actually enjoy doing it.
Nah, people with a house that big, there's no way.
That might be one of the few things they like doing.
I imagine the work that goes into that takes more than two people. Because I'm telling you, it's like looking at a city.
Okay.
It's so big. Please tweet at me if you know what I'm talking about for confirmation. Because I'd like to know. Because I know other people have seen it, too.
Y'all ever been over to, like, the Smokies parking lot lights they do?
Tennessee Smokies?
Yeah, they, like,
no.
Do, like, the drive-through light show where, like, it syncs with, like, the radio.
I have not seen that.
It was like, the worst $25 I ever spent.
They make you pay?
They, like, charge you to drive around this parking lot. Oh, my God. While you just slowly drive behind people and you sync your radio to the lights. And it's,
That's what they do at my hometown.
I made a mistake of taking a girl out to that, and I was like, this is awful.
They don't charge you to do that, the one in my hometown. You got to pay $25
for that? I
think
it was like $20,
$25. Colin says he thinks
pissed.
It's the Bimbo's Fireworks house. People who own Bimbo's Fireworks.
I knew somebody would know what I was talking about.
We're not for sure that he knows what you're talking about, but he said that's what he thinks.
Okay. It's this big place out in that area. I mean, you can't miss it if you're on that road, like between Lenore City and Farragut. Maybe they listen to the show. Probably not. Bimbo's Fireworks?
Mm-hmm. Now, Tyler says you're talking about the garbage man's house off of Highway 11 in Lenore City, right before the intersection of Muddy Creek and Ford Road is what he's saying.
The garbage man?
There's a garbage man who got really rich there from being a garbage man. It's an impressive story.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, I've got time. I mean, how did he get so rich as a garbage man?
Just started grinding.
Picked a lot of garbage.
Like he owned a garbage place.
One man's trash is another man's treasure.
That Cam summed it up pretty perfectly. One man's trash is another man's treasure. Yes, that is the Lenore City garbage man story.
Apparently. I mean, I guess like maybe he owned a place. I could understand where he got rich that way. You know, but he just picked up more bags than anybody else? Or how does that? I mean, I don't know. Did he hit the Powerball? You don't know his story.
He hit the streets and started picking up trash. And then he kept buying trash. He kept creating trash companies and selling them. And then, like, he would keep the name. I think it's the guy who owns Tennessee Trash.
Okay, so he's a businessman,
well,
not a garbage.
But he started out by just, like, I think I want to say, now, again, some of this could be urban legend. I want to say he started out broke and was, like, just picking up cans from the road, and then
like
became
an actual garbage,
and then became the trash man on the back, and then like started his own company. He's like, I'm going to bypass everyone else and start my own company, and then built an empire out of it. If I got the story correctly, you know, so like I said, some of this stuff gets passed around in urban legends or whatever. But then he kept starting these companies and hitting the road and going out and getting these things. Like, okay, now I'm going to buy a truck, I'm going to make it bigger, and then they bought him out for like 20 something million, but they let him keep his name. But he had to wait 5 years. 5 years later, he came and made another company with the same name, did the whole thing again. A big trash company bought him out again. He did the same thing again. He sold his company three times. He sold Tennessee Trash 3 times, but every time he keeps the name and just gives up his clients and then comes back and does it again and makes more money, and he just keeps doing the same thing. If I got the story correct.
How many whales do you think that guy's killed?
Whales? Probably not many.
How many sperm whales
I would
have
imagine,
washed up on a beach because of him?
I would imagine he's helping remove the trash. He's trying to give trash a proper burial.
He's one of those trash mountain guys. Have you ever seen one of those where they just
a trash mountain guy?
Yeah.
Is that guy just has a mountain full of trash?
Not one of those guys. I mean like an actual trash mountain, like a landfill.
Yeah.
Where they'll build it up and it's just a massive hill and they just put dirt over the top and plant grass like it's a regular mountain, but it's a mountain of trash. You can tell because it's got these things coming out the side where they blow the gas out of it. For real. You can smell it.
Go to break.
We didn't have any more?
Did you have another one?
Yeah, I did. But
sounds like it's not very good.
Move on.
Yeah, sounds like it's not very good.
What was it?
I was just gonna say Billie Eilish or Eyelash or however you say her name. I don't know.
Just go to break.
She's overrated.
Yeah.
My name is John.
Last call is brought to you by our friends at Volunteer Vodka, award-winning vodka distilled in the hills of Tennessee. Listener Doug tweets in, "Hey, John Reed, tell your listeners that he approves of the smooth and tasty," he forgot, "award-winning Volunteer Vodka. It's like his Russian history professor at UT said, though, the trick with vodka is you drink it down fast. You don't sip vodka, you drink it down fast, just chug it.
No need to drink it slow, yeah.
Just drink it fast?
Vodka. Just drill it.
Stop by and pick you up a bottle for your Christmas party. All right, pump the brakes and keep rolling. Cody, you want to go first or second?
Second.
Go for it. Board members of Little League World Series received their sentence for stealing over $126,000 from their Little League baseball team. How the hell does a Little League baseball team have $126,000 to steal? Because, I mean, if you steal $126,000, that means there has to still be like $30,000, $40,000, $50,000 to cover all the expenses. How much money was there? It was the Holbrook Little League team that went and represented the Mid-Atlantic region in the Little League World Series a couple years ago. Well, Anthony Del Vecchio and John Lehman pled guilty on Monday to third-degree theft for stealing more than $126,000 from their Little League. The only punishment they really have to do is pay it back. They have to pay it back half each, $63,000 apiece, and they have to do it by January and March, so I guess they have to come up with that money pretty quickly. And then they get a non-custodial probation, which does that mean they just can't, like, I don't know what that means, non-custodial? What does that mean?
They don't like anti-trash?
I've never heard that phrase, but I'm assuming they're just talking about, like, unsupervised probation.
Okay, yeah. I was going to say maybe it was something to do with, like, looking over other kids. Like, they couldn't be, like, in charge of kids.
That
but
could be it, yeah.
Custodial doesn't, I don't know, that kind of implies you have custody or something. Either way, and they are required to or serve 100 hours of community service. So, it's crazy that they raised so much money that they could steal $126,000. You think they should get away with it, I assume. If the parents were dumb enough to give them all that money, they should get to keep it. Yeah,
yeah.
I figured as much.
I'm pro-theft.
Yeah, I figured as much.
Avengers Endgame star Josh Brolin tries a new thing the kids are doing and regrets it.
What are the kids doing these days? Vaping? Is he regret starting vaping?
Perineum sunning.
Oh.
You've heard about this?
We talked about that on Friday from the Travel Center.
That's really?
Where you get naked and suntan.
And
you hold your feet, spread your legs in the air and
yeah,
just take the sun in the butt.
You're trying to tan your
butt
place between your that and
your gooch.
Yes, gooch. That's the word for it. So Josh Brolin says he tried that and he burned his quote pucker hole. The Avengers Endgame star said the pain was so bad he had to spend the day icing and using aloe and burn creams on his perineum instead of hanging out with his family. He warned he had a message for today's youth. He said tanning that area is not a good idea. He learned the lesson the hard way a few days after he engaged in perineum sunning.
Christmas Santa, Mall Santa gets fired.
Yep.
Because some inappropriate photos were found of him online, of him chugging from a flask dressed as Santa, and him behind a woman with his arms around her and his hands getting down close to her bosom.
Billy Bob would be proud.
Yes, but this looks way more like a real Santa than Billy Bob, which makes it funnier. Look at this picture of this guy just right there, just cheesing him, draped up behind that woman with his hands slowly going down her chest. He was fired, though.
Fired.
For pictures he took on his personal time while dressed in his costume. This would have been my second year. There was a lot of enthusiasm, and I really worked hard at doing that. I wanted it to be like that. I wanted it to appear as if I'd been spanked by Santa. Wait, what?
Hey, I got no problem with my Santa Claus wanting to have a good time. He deserves it just as much as the rest of us.
Well, Merry Christmas, everyone. All right, good show by you guys. Good job, Cody. Good job, Cam. The Drive is up next. Stay locked in on Fan Run Radio.